She's mine. She's all mine. Coming up on TMS, the Johnson household is pretty classic now.
This is your last ride.
Kung Fu Master is crazy.
Uncle Fatty in the news again.
You stole my burrito.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi, and welcome to Sexy Software. My name is Greta, and we're going to be learning how to use Microsoft's latest version of Windows, called Windows 95. If you can, follow along with your own computer. It'll make the learning process easier for you.
One other thing.
Ladies, we heard you. This is the Morning Stream.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TMS. This is the Morning Stream for May 24th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett.
When does the sexy part of the sexy software come in?
Never. It never does.
It's just, I think that's just it. I think it's just Windows 95.
I think it was like a weird infomercial for like a training CD where the women teaching you how to use Windows 95 were very scantily dressed. But other than that, it's just straight up Windows training. So.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad stuff.
Wow.
Anyway, hey, what's going on, everybody? It's
Bill O'Reilly did some weird stuff before he got his own TV show.
He sure did. He did it live. He says, F it, we'll do it live. Brian, we're here to do some business here for the show. We're gonna have a show. It's a Wednesday. That means we got movies to recommend later. Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, I don't know what mine is. Mine's kind of a weird middle thing.
Mine is weird too, but it's definitely a movie. But it's a weird movie.
It's a weird movie, is it? Okay.
It's
having not heard your clip, I don't even know what to expect about your weird movie.
I know. It's a weird movie, but I will tell you this. Mm. It's got an actor in it that we all really like right now because of his TV show work.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a broad guess. There's a lot of people doing good TV right now. All right, well, I'm excited. It'll come up later in the show. Everybody hang around for that. Do you think that, you know how sugar is supposed to make people kind of hyper and give them energy, at least a short burst of it?
Well, we talked about this. It doesn't. It's like,
did we talk
remember,
about this?
Yeah, this was the thing in the true or false last week that we did. You asked me a series of questions and you said, giving someone sugar gives them energy.
Right, right. Well, I'm here to reinforce then
refute,
what we learned.
Refute?
No, I'll reinforce what we learned.
Okay.
Because, I ate a cake donut this morning. And for a minute there, I felt pretty good. I was like, yeah, cake donut, Dunford brand. These are good. And then about 5 minutes later, I went, bleh. And now I think I have grumpy donut syndrome. I'm grouchy today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I just think it's that donut.
Is there a thing called grumpy donut syndrome?
There is now. And when I got out this morning, I was fine, having a great morning. It's great. Everything's good. Took the dog on a light, nice run. Was outside, beautiful weather, nice breeze. Somebody's doing a half K marathon, so that was fun to try to avoid those people with my dog. And Rainer pooped three times, only had two bags. It was all great. That stuff should make me grumpy, but it was fine. I get back, I eat a cake donut, now I'm grumpy. So all I'm saying is, if you tuned in today for Happy Smiley Scott, I apologize for cake donut syndrome is what I've got. Aww. Or grumpy donut syndrome.
Let's work on turning you around like we turn anybody around who's having a bad day.
Okay. How do we do that? What's your method?
Well,
do you have a trick?
I have no trick. Right. I have no method. Right. Well, nothing specific. Just, doing a good show and making you happy.
Oh, is that all? All right. We can do that.
Can we just do that? I mean, does it have to be? Does everything have to be a formula with you, Johnson?
No, I like the exact sciences when they're there. But if it's not here for this, it's fine. I just feel like, what I need to do is just kind of start over. Like when this is all over today, maybe what I'll do is I'll post the show. I'll go lay down for 10 minutes and then get up and pretend, what a beautiful day, and just pretend like the day's starting all over again.
That's like a control-alt-delete of your life is what it is.
Sure. Or, let's not forget our Mac users, Command-Option-Escape. or if you're using
That's a forced quit, isn't it?
No, that's like a control-alt-delete, isn't it?
No, that's like, it's a force. Yeah, I mean, I guess it is. No, control-alt-delete. No, wait a minute.
So wait, I go control. If I go Command-Option-
Escape. It lets you force quit any apps that aren't responding.
Yeah, same with Control-Alt-Delete and Windows.
Oh, is that what? Okay.
Same deal, yeah.
I thought Control-Alt-Delete. I thought for some reason Control-Alt-Delete restarted you.
No, if you do it twice, it does. So if you hit it once, it gives
That's
you
That's what it is. Okay,
if
all
you,
right.
If you do it once, you get the task manager, and then you can decide what tasks to end.
They are so going to fire me at Best Buy Geek Squad.
I was going to say, you're not going to get keys to that little car anymore.
The only way anymore I can drive a Volkswagen Beetle. My job at the Best Buy Geek Squad.
So I have a weird happenstance to tell the listeners about that I'm okay. pleased about, but it's also weird. So some week or two ago, Nick P. got in touch with me. It's not that I'm hiding his last name. That's just how I wrote it down as Nick P.
Nick P.
Nick P. Uh-huh. And he got a hold of me and said, "Hey, I know that you've been, saying that, oh, woe is me. The world has screwed me over. I'll never get an NES Classic because Nintendo quit making them, and now they're, $500 on eBay."
Right.
And I said, "Ah, yeah, it's a bummer." And he says, "Well, what if I told you I had one?" I said, "Oh my gosh, mail it to me. Tell me where to send the money. Let's do this."
Right.
And he said, "I don't want to take your," he says, "your money's no good to me," he says. And he says, "I'm just sending this for as my way of saying thanks for all the stuff you do." I said, "Oh my gosh, you're way too nice. What a kind gesture." So he sends me this NES Classic. Great. We get the Classic. It walks through the door and Kim goes, "Who's Nick P?" And I go, "Oh, he's this listener. He's a super nice guy and all this."
He sent it cash on delivery.
She goes, "Okay, well, then I guess we'll have an interesting birthday for Nick." And I said, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, I'll explain later." And I said, "Okay, this is last week." Right. I didn't know what she was talking about. So we plugged it in, it, and she wouldn't tell me, and everything was fine. 2 days later, it's Nick's birthday. And in the mail that day, from Josh B., we get another fan-donated NES Classic.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
So
jeez.
We gave that to Nick for his birthday, and I kept one of them. So now Nick's got one on his computer that he's got hooked up to HDMI in there that he's got. He's been playing Zelda 2.
Oh, it's the best one.
It's pretty
good.
Well,
no, it's not the best one, but it was different enough that it's a fun one to go back to.
I agree. I'm a big fan of the translation in that game. There's lots of broken translations in there, like
Just hate walking around and then all of a sudden being attacked by something.
Yeah, it's why I don't like Pokemon games. I like Pokemon games, but I don't like that part of the game. I can't stand
like,
walking.
Oh, dang it. Another friggin' Pidgey that I have to battle before I can go to the town and get my Sunstone.
Yeah, you gotta for the animation to kick in, and it's just a pain in the ass, and I hate that. It's a JRPG thing. I get it. I know it's an established construct. I just have never liked it. Anyway, so you're not wrong, but Balloon Fight's the best game ever, and just admit it. It's the best. It's the great game on there. Anyway, point is, two NES classics in the house before there were none.
Right.
And I just wanted to shout out these two guys for their incredible stuff. He reached out to Kim directly. Josh did. Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't know about it.
And well, when Nick eventually moves out, that will be the cornerstone of his entertainment system.
I think it might be. Yeah, yes. You're probably right. I like the emphasis on eventually that you gave your sense.
I know. Oh, believe me. Experiencing that twofold.
Yeah. Well,
up until Labor Day last year, we thought, all right, well, we've got one kid. We've got to slowly nudge out of the nest. And
yeah. Yep. Sometimes you just got to push them right out and they'll fly. Like, it was weird. Taylor was like, "I'm out." She didn't even hang around. And she didn't. Yeah. It's not like she didn't like us. She was just ready.
Sure.
And then Carter, same deal. She's like, "All right, got my thing." Although she's back for the summer, but she's ready. She's done. Nick, I can't tell yet. I think he might like the free food. You know, like the food might be a thing to keep him here.
Uh-huh. So, no, it totally is. Because Tina and I go to bed, and we'll have seen what was in the fridge. Not taking inventory or anything. We'll get up the next day, and the trash can and the recycling bin will be filled with wrappers and boxes and containers, and the fridge will be cleared out.
Yeah. Yet he remains, 105 pounds?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. Remember those days when we could just eat anything we wanted and none of it would stay?
Yeah.
Those were good days.
I remember the days I could get up and have a cake donut.
Yeah. I mean, that cake donut's going to make me grumpy in multiple ways, not just the one way, not just the sugar way. It's going to make me grumpy because I'm going to gain an extra pound and a half from half a pound of donut. Exactly. Anyway, that's not neither here nor there. What's the point? Oh, big thanks, by the way, to Nick P. and Josh B. You made me very happy. You made Nick extremely happy. it ended up working out, and now we went from like drought of NES Classic to abundance.
A surplus. Some might say.
Yeah, and when Nick also was kind enough, I didn't know he was going to do this, so I feel like I need to send him some money. He sent me an extra controller and an extender cable.
Oh, wow. And, oh, yeah, because that's the big problem with those things from what I hear is that the cables are too short. And
were they long when we had NESs?
No, we had long, super long NES cables.
I know. I feel like, okay, here's where Nintendo...
That's where Nintendo like said, you know what was really great about our machines was, you know, all the games you could play. You know what really sucked? The length of our cables. It made people have to be too far away from their Nintendo.
I mean,
I could see
in like 1987, 1986, a TV was just a small 4x3 tube that wasn't that big. You maybe had a 19 inch in your house or something at the most, and usually smaller than that. So you would sit up close to it. Today, if you're going to plug this into an HDMI device, you are talking about a flat screen TV that's at least 36 inches at the smallest. And most people are 50, 70 range inches in their big TVs. So what you're doing is you're asking kids to park their butts 3 feet from the television. Right. That's so weird to me.
Why on earth do they make it so that it's not a USB? Like, it seems like it would be just so much better if they made that thing USB. And then you could use, you could use an NES controller, the ones they make now that plug into USB. I've got one for the Covercade, which has a lot more than 30 games.
Oh, yeah, no, those, you can do stuff.
I think I've got a weird Japanese import of Balloon Fight that's on there.
Yeah.
But then you could also use, like, a flight stick or something,
Or a ball or a...
Right, trackball. Right, for the games you want a trackball for. You could even use an Atari 2600 controller if you could figure out a way to give it an A and B button.
There's a purity to that kind of controller connection that makes it seem more like the old one. I kind of understand it. All they needed to do was give us an extra 3 feet of cable. Like, it's too short. Make that a 10-foot cable. Done, Nintendo. Nailed it.
Or, like, operate in this decade and make it a wireless.
They could have done that, but then...
PlayStation can do it. Xbox can do it.
Yeah, but can they do it for $50? See, there's
for
your problem.
For $50.
Well, that's how much the NES Classics cost.
Really? I thought they were 100. I thought they were 100 something. No, they were 50?
They were like $50, $49.99 or whatever.
God, people really jack those prices up.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing. Jeez. Like they're incredibly inexpensive when they were new and being made. And so I expected no frills. I knew we weren't going to get Bluetooth or anything like that. But 3 feet of cable, come on.
Yeah.
That's dumb. At least give me 10. That's the compromise I'm looking for my classic NES experience.
Wow. Yeah, for some reason I thought they were way more expensive than that. But
well, they are now. You're going to go.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You go,
exactly.
you go to eBay, you're going to pay. I saw one for $550 and it was still climbing.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. We could be wieners here and just turn right around and make a profit on these, but I'm not going to do that to these guys. I really like it. I think it's an awesome little device, so I'm going to hang on to it and keep
and
it
plus,
and love it.
We got the SNES Classic coming out this year at some point.
Well, rumors. There's
rumors of it, but they'll do it. Come on.
None of that's confirmed. However, the only reason I want that. Here's why I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. If they couldn't handle production on this one, why do we think they will with that one? Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe they want to do a short burst run, and that's their entire plan, and eventually they'll do an N64 thing for that, too, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, great, but I don't know. I'm torn. I want it to be a thing, because I love the Super NES. It was great.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite controllers
ever. Super Mario World was just such a great game.
Yeah, one of the best games ever made. Best Mario, probably. That could be argued. That's not a car. That is not a thing we should bring up on the show because we will get
not
email
official.
After email.
Yeah, exactly.
People will get ticked. All right. I want to give something away. As many of you know, friend of the program and certainly member of this network, co-host of mine on The Instance and Hypothetical Help and Other Stuff, Mark the Terpster Turpin. He's currently serving as CEO of the Yogscast. And I didn't know this was going to happen, but like 9 months ago, I bought a game on Steam called Cave Blazers. And I bought it purely, it was early access, and I bought it on Steam purely because it looked like something I'd like. It looked like it would scratch sort of a roguelike, rogue legacy sort of itch that I always have. A little Spelunky in there, a little RPG mechanic, stuff like that. So I thought, I'm going to pick this thing up, and I did. Like $10 or something. And followed it through its development, and then come to find out a few weeks ago that Yogg's Cast has decided to be the publisher of the game.
Oh, wow.
So they've got an official publishing agreement. It's kind of a big deal in terms of this being the first time they've done that. And I said to Terpster yesterday, dude, I love that game already. It's way cooler now that you're involved. And he says, hey, how about some codes to give away? I said, hey, that sounds great. We have people who listen to the show who would like a free code to a video game. So right now, today, in our Twitch chat, I will pick one of you at random for a free copy of Cave Blazers, which is now out officially. It's not in early access anymore. It is called Cave Blazers. And if you want one, say pick me, pick me, pick me, or something to that effect.
I see lots of woots. Now that it's catching up to the...
yeah, there's a lot of woots and a lot of me's right. And a lot of other stuff. I'm going to go with... I've picked a name. That person is Luciferous Kiwi. And I'm going to send you a whisper in the game in Twitch where I'm pasting the code. Enter that into Steam, and you will have a copy of Cave Blazers. It's awesome. Keyboard recommend, or not keyboard, controller recommended. Highly recommend you have a controller. You don't have to, but it's so much better with a controller. And that game's great. I'm going to stream some of that later. That game's really awesome. And I'm not just doing this because Terps is our friend. I liked it before.
Of course, of course.
I was a Cave Blazers hipster before I knew that Terpster was involved in any meaningful way. So anyway, congratulations. We'll have more of those. I think I'll give one of those away a day for the next foreseeable little bit. And maybe some on Boop. I don't know. All right. There's that. What else? Cool. Oh, no show Monday.
Okay. I was wondering about that. People were asking if we're doing... Inquiring minds wanted to know if we're doing a show Monday.
It's Memorial Day. We have an early morning graveside thing for my dad's grave, so we are not... Mm. I am not going to be here. I meant to tell you this before, so yes. No show on Monday. Take the holiday, everybody. It's a bank holiday. Don't go to... You're not working anyway, most of you, so just...
I'm working.
Oh, well, yeah. I probably am too for most of the day. I just won't be here in the morning. So, yeah, there you go. No show Monday. Brian, before Daryl gets here, we should eat this Canadian food.
Yes, we should.
Hold on. Where is it? It's right over here.
You just brought the box down.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, so in here, we received a number of Canadian items from...
That's right. From Stephanie, who's in the chat room.
Stephanie McNeil. I just got yesterday, by the way. He showed up.
Yeah, she's been asking, hey, what are you going to eat the food I sent? Can you please eat the food? Please eat the food.
One of these exploded in here, I think.
Oh, no, it wasn't the Cheezies, was it?
No.
Do you have a box full of Cheetos?
It's the all dressed, it's the Ruffles. The Assassinaries or whatever they're called, the Ruffles, the all dressed ones. They exploded. Right. Do you have those?
Yes, but I think what we need to start with are the Cheezies, because this is what they say blows our American Cheetos out of the water.
Okay.
This is actually what prompted us getting the box. First thing I'm going to say, though, when you hold this bag of Cheezies,
mm-hmm.
if you were to hold an equivalent size bag of Cheetos, American Cheetos, I feel like this is way heavier.
Oh, way
Doesn't
more
feel
dense.
Heavier to
yeah,
you?
Way more dense for sure. I assume these are just in general, like each of these Cheetos is, or these Cheezies is like a hardcore multiple Cheeto in one.
Right.
By the way,
yeah.
She's not the only one that said this. We've heard from many Canadians saying that Cheezies make our Cheetos look stupid. So we're going to learn firsthand. Oh, interesting. It's all in French too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's open it up, see what we got here. Canadian Cheezies. Mm-hmm. Real cheddar cheese, raw fromage cheddar. Oh, my Lord.
How does it smell?
Pungent, yeah. Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, don't do that.
Each Cheeto. Each Cheeto is a heavier... That's a heavy Cheeto.
It's a heavy Cheeto. Mm-hmm. No kidding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Or eats
it's
cheesy.
Like maybe there's cheese inside.
All right, here goes. Yeah, these just are... They're just like compressed Cheetos, right?
There's a little bit of Bugles. A Bugles-y kind of flavor. Like a cheddar Bugles.
Yeah.
Corn chip kind of feel to them as well.
Yeah, there's just more to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I don't know, there's more mass. It's just more of a Yeah, I'm going to eat all those. I'm going to have orange.
I'm going to have
orange poop.
I'm going to enjoy the heck out of these later.
Yeah, and they're not too. Maybe it's because it's real cheese, but they don't taste like socks. You know, like sometimes you can eat Cheetos and go, "Oh, these are like some 12-year-old socks." Not that I've ever had one of those in my mouth, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So I'm going to put those right here where I can reach them.
Yes. I imagine rating tonight. I imagine these will be much consumed before raid ends tonight. Not completely. There's a lot here.
No. You'll make a considerable dent, though.
There are how many? It's funny. It says serving size is about 3/4 of a cup.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say how many servings are in this package. Well, it's 210 grams, so there's a little over 4 servings in this bag.
Wow. That's all?
I know, right?
That doesn't
seem like
right.
That should be like 6 servings.
Yeah. How are you Canadians doing? You guys all right up there? You're not all, not all you know, bloated on cheesies or anything
That's
like
right.
that? Just a little worried about you is all. All right. We're going to call Daryl and play a game. If you guys want to be a part of this game, remember, get into our Discord channel. That's at frogpants.com. /Discord. Daryl's showing away. That's never good. Let's make sure he hasn't texted something.
No, he's here. He just texted us about needing to. This reminded him he needs to go get packages from
his old lady. He calls her the old lady, but he's
the old lady.
They're divorced now, so she's not the old lady anymore, right?
She's the ex-lady.
Yeah, the ex-lady. Wait, isn't that how it works? Because if you say,
yeah, for sure. Now, like if you're married,
yeah,
you got to get home to the old lady.
Yeah, now if
or
it's
the old
your,
woman,
if it's your son, you say, well, I need to call the old man. That means you're talking to your dad.
Right.
You never hear the married woman say, I need to go.
Or you're talking about Admiral Adama.
Yes, that also is true. Speaking of which, Kim just watched what's that called? Fargo season
Caprica?
Two. No, Fargo season two, and it's got Colonel Ty in there.
Oh right, yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, he was kind of barely in it because he was had the stroke, you know,
pretty early on. Yeah,
but
Jean Smart, man, she was fantastic.
That season, dude. Oh my god,
kind of took over the reins. Are you and you're currently caught up on the current season.
Behind an episode, maybe two, but I'm. Okay. I will be caught up. Just haven't had time to watch the latest. All right. Well,
they're doing an interesting thing where they're doing lots of backstories on the other characters, which I really like.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. All right. Well, we're going to see if Dunaway's around.
Okay.
Because Daryl's not answering.
Which is weird because, again, he chatted to us.
It's probably another meeting. You know how these things go.
4 minutes ago. Yeah, that's true.
Probably some meeting thing. All right. We'll see if Brian answers. If Brian answers, then we have our man.
Well, is it a situation where he hasn't accepted your new name?
No, we've had him on here since.
Of course we have, yeah. All right.
Yeah, he's showing up. Hi, Brian Dunaway, you there?
Hey, what's up? Hi.
Hi, do you mind being last minute Joe again for a second?
Oh, let's do the last minute Joe. How do I sound?
Last minute Joe. You sound totally fine. Are you on a phone or something, or where are you?
I'm on my phone, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally fine. You sound great. Yeah. You sound as good as Daryl ever does, maybe better, because Daryl...
Last Minute Joe is my favorite slow motion game on the Sega Genesis.
Oh, Last Minute Joe, dude. Oh, I could play that all day. Yeah, had that great music. Beautiful parallax scrolling in the background.
That's right, and the luchador mask that he wore.
It was something special. Brian Dunaway, stand in for when we need someone to get stumped. And man, do we have a lot of people lined up in the room here. I'm just going to grab somebody and see, okay? So here goes.
Ooh, don't touch me there.
No. let's see. Let's try this name. It's if I can get in here. It's Pants Arsonist. Pants Arsonist, are you there?
I am here.
Oh my gosh, that is a great name. Right. Pants Arsonist. Where'd you get the name? I'm curious.
Well, Pants on Fire.
Oh, Pants on Fire. Yeah, right.
Exactly. And Frog
Dunaway,
Pants.
Dunaway and I got the joke, Scott.
Yeah, it took me a while. Took me a while, but I like the whole frog pants connection.
Are you currently jogging, Pants Arsonist?
No.
His pants are on fire currently. That's the problem.
I'm just trying to run and put him out.
It's all good.
Do you want us to call you Pants on Fire, or do you have another name that you go by?
Sean.
Sean. All right.
That's Sean nice. And Sammamish.
All right, I like this. Sean is good. Sean spelled S-E-A-N.
Washington, correct. Right? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah, I've called before.
S-E-A-N, everybody. Good to have you here. Brian will explain the rules, and we'll try to stump Brian. What do you got?
Well, Sean, we're going to be running over to Brian Dunaway and asking him a trivia question here in just a moment. Brian's going to do his best Daryl impersonation and give us a numerical answer. However, it'll be wrong. Like Daryl, you know, we're human. We're human. Come on. We have our faults. Jeez. Give us a break. Oh, wow. Look at that. You've got like a little Wabafay shaped Cheeto there.
It looks like a penis.
Yeah. It does kind of.
The way you said yeah is the best thing
just
ever.
Just resigned. Yeah, it does. So after we ask Brian Dunaway the question, we'll then turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than the answer that, than the correct answer. If you are correct, today you win the carryover prizes from Monday, the Transformers shirt, the Joker print, and a fidget spinner and a copy of, you guessed it, The Last Dragon DVD.
Ooh.
Which will get you ready for Nerdtacular, since that's our movie.
Yeah, that's our movie. So you'll be awesome. Be more prepared than most, Sean. What's on the line, or what's our topic, actually?
Our topic today is President Trump.
President Trump. Oh, wow. A political, and it's not really political, but a question.
It's not really political. Yeah, he is the subject of today's questions.
That's right. The 45th serving standing president of these states united, President Donald Trump. Here's your question, Brian.
Did we interrupt you watching Hulu back there, Sean?
Sorry. Oh, no, that was actually Brian.
Oh, that was Brian Dunaway.
I've been listening to Mr. Mercedes on Audible, and when I switched over to my computer, my phone decided to fire back up. Thank you, phone.
How do you feel about that book so far? That book's great.
The Shining sequel, right?
No.
You're actually thinking of Dr. Sleep. I'm gonna get that next. Mr. Mercedes is the first in the 3-part series about a detective who is investigating Mr. Mercedes.
Yeah, and there's no supernatural anything in it. It's just straight up detective novel, and it's awesome. I loved that first book. I haven't read the other two yet, but I really like that first book. It feels like Stephen King's on a whole new swing right now. It's really good.
Right.
Anyway, Brian, here's your question. Brian Dunaway, that is. President Trump recently got through his first 100 days in office, or as Mike wrote, his fastest 100 days in office. How many jokes on late night television were made at his expense during his first 100 days? First 100 days, how many total counted late night TV jokes were made at his expense in that time?
All right. Kimmel and Fallon and Corden and...
Right. You're actually doing some pretty good math for me, Ibbitt.
Colbert, you got him in there.
Colbert, right?
Yeah. Right.
I imagine Samantha Bee's got to be included in there. John Oliver.
Yeah. Noah, right. What's his name that took over for Jon Stewart?
Right.
He's in there now. John Oliver, you said that. Yeah, all those people. Yeah, Samantha Bee, you mentioned her. Who else is there? Is there anyone else for late night? That's it.
Sure, we're forgetting somebody. Who we forget?
I can't think of anyone. Chevy Chase. Yeah. It's a short-lived talk show.
Oh, Conan? Yeah, Conan, sure.
Oh, yeah, Conan O'Brien. He did it.
Over there on TBS.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Here's your range. You want a range? I'll give you a range.
Sure, give me a range. I'll help cheat.
It
Go
is
ahead.
Somewhere between 200 and 5,000.
All right, so 200 makes sense because that's a good base because it's 100 days, and we have talk show host. We named about... 15 and 100 days, and there's usually they only do them 5 days a week. John Oliver does it 1 day a week, so let's get some averages here. Let me do some math in my head.
So I like this. How many jokes per night do you think they're making?
Each of them had a monologue, and each of them probably do about between 2 to 3 jokes. But then you have Colbert, whose whole show is nothing but political jokes, probably. So let's see. And the researchers, how studious were they? I'm gonna go. Let's see. I'm going to use my calculator. I'm typing, but it's not because I'm Googling this.
It's
because
fine.
You do you.
Right. I trust you. I totally trust
you. And you said between 200 and what was your top number?
5,000.
5,000 is the top 5,000.
We forgot Seth Meyer. Of course, Seth Meyer.
Right. Plus Seth Meyer. That's right. What do you guys think about his show?
That wasn't an answer to your question.
Scott's opinion.
Is it right? Is it a little bit dry?
It's just, I've never liked Seth Meyers' style, so it doesn't work for me at all. But I realize I'm in the minority. I know a lot of people like him, but I didn't like him. I didn't like his SNL stuff.
Oh, really?
I never liked his weekend update. I wish I did. I would have, I don't know. My favorite update dude was Norm MacDonald. Everyone else kind of blows. Sure. So for me, he just never worked there. So I've tried to watch the late night thing, and it's just the same. So it's not me. I don't like it. But I'm not. But I realize I'm in the minority. This isn't me claiming that everyone's wrong. I think I'm probably wrong, but it's just not my style.
Well, that stuff. I mean, obviously, that stuff is so subjective. I'm not a big fan of Fallon's late night show. I liked him okay on SNL, and I think he seems like probably one of the nicest people in the world. But his show feels so. Anybody's really had the Tonight Show. Leno and maybe even Carson to some degree has felt so sanitized, like they had to make it so family friendly, even though it's late night TV.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So I have my turban on. Isn't that what Johnny Carson did?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Karnak.
Right.
Yeah.
Karnak. I got my.
You're holding up the envelope to your forehead.
Yeah. I'm holding up the envelope to my forehead, and I'm getting. Who's 3,000? Are you ready for the answer?
Yeah, but who's your fat drunk secondhand guy? Oh.
I'm actually my correct sir.
All right, Brian's
got to be McMahon.
Yeah, Brian's got the job. It's fine.
He does.
Well, I qualify with the fat and drunk part. So
right,
I'm overqualified.
Yeah.
So I'm going with what is 3,622?
3,622. Brian, is that number right?
3,622 is incorrect. Sean is the correct answer, higher or lower than 3,622.
I think it's going to be a little bit lower.
You think a little lower, do you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know, but I know the judges do. So let's find out if they think in the first 100 days there were that many or lower.
Congratulations.
You are correct.
You're a winner.
Awesome.
Well done. The answer is 1,060 jokes.
There's no way. That's not even close. That's
this wrong. Came from, I sent this joke over to Iceworm. This actually came from the Hollywood Reporter, and they counted apparently how many jokes were made at Trump's expense over the first 100 days. I don't know. They didn't say which shows they were including. So maybe it didn't include.
Maybe they did the four. They must have did this the four networks.
Right. It might not be exactly. Maybe no Samantha Bee. Maybe no John Oliver.
Right.
No
right.
Conan.
Maybe they count the big three, and that's all they do, and they don't do the later ones like Seth Meyers or something. Who knows?
Could be. Yeah, who knows?
Well, either way, I'm happy that our Sean and Skamish, it's S-E-A-N or S-H-A-W-N?
S-E-A-N.
Okay, got it. Brian had it in there different. It threw me off. We will.
Is it important, Scott?
No, it's just because he said it earlier, and then my brain farted when I saw it spelled it. My brain went. Anyway, you'll get this stuff to you ASAP if you just send an email to coverville@gmail.com. He will mail this stuff out to you. Congratulations and well done, Sean.
Thanks,
guys.
Okay, there goes Sean.
He didn't get my Transformer shirt, did he?
No. He did get your.
Oh, he did get
son
your,
of a.
He did get it. That's right.
That's just insulting.
It was.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's not you. How is it your shirt? I forget. What's the story on that shirt?
I played the other day. I was the contestant the other day. Right?
Oh, right. And that was the shirt you didn't win. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's all sinking in now. It's Brian Dunaway, everybody. Johnny on the spot today. Thanks for helping us out, man. We really appreciate it. Catch him on Comics Coast to Coast. Of course, the Boop Show right here on the Frog Pants Network. And I don't know, a million other things. Brian, take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
I guess.
Bye. All right. Well, it was nice of him to do that. I see we're getting texts from Daryl Sint saying he answered. You didn't answer, Daryl, or I would have put it on.
Didn't answer us. Yeah, you might have answered something.
It wasn't us for sure. All right. Enough of this. Let's do this. It's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by a couple things. Number one, Coverville. Today's episode going to be a tribute to Chris Cornell of Soundgarden and Audioslave and great solo stuff. as well as a really quick tribute to Roger Moore via some James Bond covers. That's going to be today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live.
Nice.
Also, the news is brought to you by, want to watch Scott and Carter play through Thimbleweed Park? Head over to youtube.com/ScottJohnson and your wish will come true. Poof. Speck of dust.
Speck of dust. For those watching the series, know what that means. All right. Oh, yeah. We forgot to do the thing earlier in Coverville because of
I know. The whole.
It was kind of chaotic.
Snafu. Phone call snafu. Worked out just fine.
Yeah.
Worked out just fine.
Yeah, and I found a penis shaped cheesy. So it's good.
You did.
The whole bag's like that. Is that normal?
Better than a cheesy shaped penis.
That's true.
Well, I mean, yeah, Cheetos are all, you know, long, long wiener shapes. I didn't see any in mine at the top of the bag that looked like it had little
testicle bag.
Cheesy testicles.
Yeah, I'm looking for more here. Yeah, every one of mine is identical with testicles. Just kidding, not really.
Really? It's like finding the Willy Wonka golden ticket there.
No kidding. It's like a Lucky Charms with nothing but marshmallows. All right, we got some news. Let's do this real quick here. A disgusting Lyft passenger. This is why I would never be a shared driver person. I could never be a Lyft driver or a Uber driver. I just couldn't do this. But a disgusting Lyft passenger blows his nose on the seat cover and attacked the driver. Lyft driver Michelle Jennings tells WFTS or WFATS. I don't know. That she picked up 28-year-old Stephanie Young on the night of April 29th, and Young appeared to be intoxicated as her friends put her in the car to be taken home. There is a video. I guess if you're going to be one of these regular drivers, it's a smart thing to have a car cam.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you got to do two things. Number one, you have a dash cam showing the traffic outside, and number two, you have an in-car cam showing what the hell is going on inside.
It'd be like the cash cab guy. Remember him?
It would be like cash cab or taxi cab confessions.
Yeah.
My good buddy Chris does driving for Lyft, and he's told some stories.
Yeah, I'll bet
nothing like this though. He's had
he's seen some stuff, seen some dirt.
Yeah, he had two friends, like three kids who got in the back of the car from Boulder, and the drunkest of the three, for some reason, they decided to put in the middle between the two more sober ones who were kind of helping her get home. Problem with that is that she didn't have access to either of the windows on either side of the car.
Oh,
so
no.
When she started ralphing all over the back of the seat, it was an enormous, enormous mess.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I would quit being a driver is what I'd do after
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and they were all dressed nice, like they're at some fancy prom style thing. And
no, they're not dressed nice now.
Just now they chunders all over.
Got to go home and hose it off.
Exactly.
Well,
so if I ever do this, and number one, I thought this would be a fun thing for a podcaster to do.
Oh, of course you did. Brian's always got the good ideas for this stuff.
I mean, come on, a podcaster, like a podcast with Lyft rides, be hilarious.
Sure. Or I guess, what would you do? Just interview people when they get in the car and see what's up? Or is that the thinking behind it?
I think you've got to be able to come up with one show a week of actual funny content. Maybe even if you don't interview people, but you just tell the stories of what happened in the car, not giving out any names or voices or anything.
Oh, yeah. Like, especially if you worked in a weird city or something where stuff is strange. I mean, I doubt much happens like where around I live. I bet it's the most boring Lyft job ever.
Right. Yeah. You probably would have to do super late and in like a college town for there to be really good stories. I think middle of the afternoon in South Jordan probably wouldn't give you much of a library of material.
No, but you could go to like Baltimore or New York or something, probably have a good time with it. Well, anyway, in the video filmed by Jennings, things quickly escalated when Young became belligerent and took the seat cover off the Jennings car and blew her nose on it and then yelled, "You didn't offer me anything to blow my nose. Thank you for the seat cover," Young says, slurring her words. What a butthole. With a mile or with half a mile left, until they reach the passenger's home, Jennings and Young argue back and forth. "You're kicking me out because I don't have the same skin color as you, B-I-T-C-H," Young screams. "Your ride is over," Jennings tells the drunk woman. That should be the name of the show. Oh. Your ride is over.
Your ride is over.
Yeah. I think there's video of this, but it might have some
like,
swearing.
You are the weakest link.
Yeah, no kidding.
Get off my stage.
Get off here. Get out. Let's see if this video is worth playing. I don't want it to be too gnarly. It might be. Let's see.
Oh, geez.
Here we go. Here's some video. Attacked by Lyft passenger. There's the lovely Lyft driver.
This woman looks horrendous anyway.
Record. Thank you for extending me your seat cover. Considering I had nothing, you offered me no napkin.
No, you didn't ask.
Nothing. You didn't offer me.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Jay, the seat cover, the thing extending me your offerage.
You know, it's what it reminds. It reminds me of this.
And honestly, I would just love to see him.
Oh, that's hilarious! Boy, she was three sheets to the wind, as the kids say.
Jeez, unpleasant woman back there too.
Yep, don't like that at all. All right. Well, here's one that'll cheer you right up. Kung Fu.
One star for her.
Yeah, one star Lyft review. They don't have to do the mustache anymore, right? That's done. There's no more Lyft.
They don't have to, right? Okay. I mean, they can, you know.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I guess you do need something, right? Because you want to make sure that the person picking you up isn't just random Joe Schmo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, you call for a Lyft,
hey,
ma'am?
How you doing? What's going on?
Sure, I'm Roberto. Uh-huh. Hop in.
I'm Roberto. Kung Fu Master in the news. It's not a movie, it's a dude. And he used his genitalia to pull a bus down a street.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, pretty nice. A Kung Fu Master in China.
What was really impressive is that he just stood in one place.
Yeah, he didn't move at all. It's incredible, his powers of testicular fortitude. A Kung Fu Master in China showed off his strength in a highly unusual way. He used his genitals, I hate that word, to pull an entire bus. The video filmed May 2nd, showed the Kung Fu Master in Hanzhou, Guangdong Province. I've been there. Using a rope attached to his nether regions to pull the bus, which reportedly weighed as much as 13 tons. The bus, not his wiener. just want to clear that up in case there's any confusion.
Yes, if only UPI cleared this up. we're really making an assumption that they are talking about the bus.
Yeah, they could work on their delivery. The martial artist pulled the vehicle a distance of more than 6 feet. Groin-based kung fu training appears to be on the rise in China, with a group of students appearing in the video.
Everybody was groin-based fighting!
That's exactly right. that might be today's title. Hold on. Everybody was groin-based, pulling or fighting?
I said groin-based fighting.
I think fighting works. Okay, there's our new thing. Anyway, it says here a bunch of people were also doing it in a video last month, dangling heavy wooden boxes from their privates. Master Wei Yobin, known as the Iron Crotch Kung Fu Master, went viral in February with a video showing him and some of his students taking strong blows to the groin.
Hey,
maybe a different word.
Maybe we want to use
just saying.
Hits, kicks,
punches, anything really.
Yeah, boot to the groin.
One
more for Jenny and the Limp.
This guy claims his form of kung fu can help men overcome erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation. I think it may help men overcome the fact that they have a penis at all, and it would destroy
may overcome feeling down there. It may overcome
needing it at all. Just
right, exactly.
Get rid of it. It's fine.
Yes.
Jeez. How about this one? Here's a good one. 57-pound monkey named Uncle Fatty was put on a strict diet in Thailand. I just like the headline. I don't even care about the story.
Uncle Fatty.
Uncle Fatty was put on a strict diet.
Did he get that your too fat message from your Skype that you sent a few weeks ago?
Oh, you'll be happy to know that Brian Huff, another Skype friend, got the same exact weight loss message you did. Forgot to tell you about that. So don't feel like...
So just went to the Brian's. Yeah, I see how it goes.
All the Brian's got lose weight messages for I don't know why. Anyway, we humans caused this. We have given him too much food for monkeys to eat. This was preventable. He shouldn't be 57 pounds. He should be something like 20. So there you go.
Yeah. Geez.
I just like the headline, so that's why I read that one.
Is he, but what is he? I mean, he's like a He just lives in the town with them, and they just hand him food.
Yeah, Thai people and visitors and whatever. They're just like, oh, here's a piece of my bologna sandwich, and they throw it at the monkey.
Given junk food and soft drinks by local residents. Soft drinks, that's mean. I mean, yeah, geez.
It's not nice.
It's not nice.
I mean, maybe the monkeys, maybe the monkeys
looks
into
like
it.
Captain Kipper just put a photo of Uncle Fatty in there. Oh, poor thing.
Oh, here. Oh, wow. Here's a picture on the link. Here you go, chat. Ooh. Yeah, that's a fat monkey.
That is a fat monkey.
So I was
In most of those shots, he's eating vegetables. It looks like he's eating a carton of milk in that last one.
I thought this would be like an ape or something, so it would seem bigger. But no, this is like one of those little spider monkey-sized monkeys.
It's a macaque.
Yeah.
He's another monkey with an unfortunate name.
Yeah, maybe they don't want to. Maybe they don't want to name this one Uncle Fatty necessarily. You know what I mean? Like they could come up with a better name than that. That's a bad name.
Sure. Well, right. What would you rename this monkey to kind of help him on his weight loss?
I don't know. Pico or Frederick or something. Whatever. Anything.
Monkeying to the oldies.
Hey, whatever happened to him? What's he doing?
Richard Simmons?
Yeah. I know there was all this dumb controversy in a podcast about where right. he and all that. But
I want to say that he called in to some place recently, like a radio show recently, and said that he's fine. He's not being held captive by his housekeeper. He just is being reclusive right now, and that should be okay, and blah, blah, blah.
It really should be okay. I don't know why people want to give that guy such a hard time. Let him do what he wants to do.
Exactly. Poor Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
I met him, you know.
Did you really? How? What's the deal there?
He was, at the time, he was promoting his album, Reach, and he was a guest on American Bandstand. And this was when I got to go and see two tapings of American Bandstand because my aunt worked for Dick Clark.
Mm.
Dick Clark Productions.
Wow.
And so, so I met Richard Simmons. He says, "Let me see how big your hand is." And he holds up his hand. And I put my hand on his, and my hand at whatever I was, 11 or something, was still bigger than full-grown Richardson's hand.
Really?
Yeah.
That is wild.
I small hands.
So that means you have inadvertently touched David Letterman's cheek because he used to touch his face all the time when he would go on Letterman.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if one is to believe that... that Richard Simmons didn't wash his hands between the time he touched me and the time he touched.
Someone take Brian saying out of context when Richard Simmons touched me. Could you take that out of context and make a clip? Someone make that and just send it.
1982 is when that album came out. And I would say, so I guess I was, what, 13 years old when I met Richard Simmons.
That's great. Did it leave an impression on you, though? Has it shaped your life in any way?
Not in the slightest, I'm afraid.
You're not even dancing to the oldies, that turns
out. I'm not. I've not even sweated to the newies, let alone the oldies.
Sweating to the newies. That's a tape I'd buy and put on repeat.
Sexy Microsoft Word and sweating to the newies. Great double feature.
Sweating to the newies. All right, final story. A Portland burrito shop is forced to close after getting hounded for stealing from Mexico. Callie Wilgus says she's the owner of this popular pop-up shop called Kooks Burritos, K-O-O-K-S, Kooks. Just wanted to make and sell some really great burritos, but when they were on a trip to Puerto Nuevo, Mexico, they picked the brains of the local tortilla ladies and brought those recipes back to the States. They got in trouble for that.
Puerto Nuevo.
Exactly. There you go.
Newport.
They took all their... It's like the soup Nazi. It's like when Lane found the recipes in that Anwar right. and screwed him out of it. So now they have to shut down because they're getting...
Sorry, Poppy stole my recipes.
They're getting shamed all over the internet. So that's that story. Yeah, good stuff. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom will be here, Nicole will be here, and we'll be here. But before that, a little divider slides in called a song.
That's right. Just slips right in there in the middle between all this stuff. Well, we may not have gotten Daryl today, but we did get somebody else from Seattle. We actually got a couple people because Sean was from Sammamish in Washington. But let's go to a rock band from Seattle, Washington called Mossback. This is their brand new album, Rock. These guys are influenced by, you're going to hear some strong Collective Soul influence in here. It sounds like Collective Soul, maybe with John Popper on vocals. I'm not sure. They also love Pink Floyd, another influence of theirs. They describe themselves as melodic guitar-driven rock that still plays homage to the long-forgotten art of the guitar solo. Great way to describe them. Find them on Twitter at Mossback, M-O-S-S-B-A-C-K. Here is, from their album Rock, here is their song Sanity.
Yes, kids, get the power of pure protein with delicious Borden's Cottage Cheese.
Hey, yeah! Borden's Cottage Cheese. Ask Mom to get some today.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Bye, Borden's today.
This is the morning stream. Is it over yet?
No, it's not over yet, Fletcher. It's not over
heck
yet.
Heck with Tom and Nicole. I want to hear more of that song with the 3-second rule.
Oh, we've got that somewhere. This is an old piece. This is something we played like in 2012. I've got the whole song somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, it's really bad. Do you remember we had this? We had a run of these like.
I know we had like Tay Allen and Tayson Day we were playing and
let's see. Here's one for you. Was this one? Hold on. No. That's our old news thing. No. Wait, where is that song? There's a song in here. That's her.
Oh my goodness. Oh my damn.
No. 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 Oh. No, is this it? Wait. Oh no, this is that combo Gundam style thing. I can't find
right,
it.
Okay.
Hot girls?
Look at me and tell me the truth.
This is it.
What do you do when people don't know what we go through?
Ugh, gosh.
Now I totally remember that. It was like three girls in the back of a limo singing this, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was right around the time that Friday crap was still a thing, and I'm in your mass text and all that stuff was a big deal, so yeah. Anyway. A little throwback for you there, folks. Let's bring it in. Let's do a thing. Let's get Tom all up in this shiznit. Because it's Tom. We love him.
Yes.
We like him. He's cool. He's a regular regular guy with a regular, thing to say about things. He's irregularly smart about tech. That's what matters most. Here's his theme.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man is Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom Merritt.
Hello, Tom.
Well, hello, gentle friends.
Hello, gentleman. It's nice to have you here. How are you today?
Don't put me in a box.
Well, listen, nobody puts Tom in a box. Tom Merritt's here, everybody. Comes on Wednesdays, talks about the world of tech, all ahead of Daily Tech News Show, which happens later this afternoon. And usually you're the tip of the spear for my technology news. I'm sure there's something going on today, yeah?
Yeah, there's tons of stuff going on today. I think one thing that might be of interest to the old Frog Pants crowd out there is the Xbox One Game Pass. Should you guys talk about that?
No,
already?
We haven't yet at all. Please tell me more. What's going on?
So starting June 1st, subscribers for $10 a month get access to more than 100 Xbox One and Xbox 360 games, at least to start. They say they're going to keep refreshing the lineup every month. You can download the game. So it's a little different than Sony, where it's just streaming. With the Xbox, you can actually download it. Theoretically play it offline, I guess. And you can even keep them by purchasing them at a discount. If you really like one, you can just buy it yourself. If you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber right now, you can get access to Game Pass now. Mm. They're giving early access. They're giving excess access to existing Gold subscribers.
This surprises me because... Well, it doesn't surprise me that they're trying to do a very competitive... This is a very competitive move in a very competitive space. So I totally get that part of it. But the letting you download the game part is strange to me. Does that just strike you as we don't want to invest in... I mean, Sony had to buy the back end to get their streaming thing up and going. Some other company. Microsoft would be either faced with having to do something like that from the ground up and employ their Azure services in some way that let a good streaming service happen.
You may be misinterpreting me. You don't have to download the game.
Oh.
You're not being forced to download. You have the option to do it.
Oh, okay. So you can... Oh, that's interesting. All right. That makes it even more interesting because now they're basically giving you the option. It's like, stream it, download it, keep it if you want.
It's a streaming service, just like Sony's.
Oh.
But if you want, you can choose to download it.
Okay, that's interesting. $10 a month. Brian, would you pay it?
Probably would. I mean, I guess Apple or Sony had something similar, kind of, with their older games, the PlayStation Now. Yeah, is that right? There's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can never remember the names of these. It's always Now or Go or Plus or.
Yeah. Plus Go and Now are the two or the three overused terms right now.
It's they really are. I'm going to
start a company called Go Now Plus.
There you go. GoNowPlus. GoNowPlus.com. Coming soon.
Right. Now, the elite level of your company, Tom, would be Plus Now Go.
Plus Now Go Plus coming soon.
Plus Now Go Plus.
Oh, I'd consider it. I don't know. I don't do the Sony one. I just don't have time to play games as much as I wish I did. That's been a long lamented thing that we've talked about ad infinitum on here. But if I had more time, I would totally do it. $10 a month is a great deal.
Mm. Yeah, the lineup.
And it's picking up titles you might have missed, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's got Lego Batman, it's got Halo 5 Guardians, it's got BioShock Infinite. These are not hot new titles, but maybe you're like, oh, you know what? I wanted to get around to playing that, and I just never had the time or money.
Yeah. It's definitely an answer to Now. So maybe the only difference between this and PlayStation Now is the download part and the keep it if you want to pay a discount. Mm-hmm. I guess that's really the only difference.
Right.
But you've got a pretty good lineup. Halo 5's in that lineup. Gears of War 3's in that lineup.
Hexic 2.
Jeez Louise. Can you believe it? Finally, in the hands of players. but it's also, this will include, obviously, 360 games as well as aging current Xbox One games. But
yeah, looking at the Verge walkthrough, it's I don't know if it's exactly 50-50. It might tilt slightly one way or another, but it's a pretty good mix.
Does it strike you that Microsoft has this as an answer to PlayStation Now, a little bit late, albeit? Does that strike you as an indicator that Now has been successful for Sony? Because my feeling is they've never really said much about how Now was doing. They talk a lot about PSN and they talk a lot about Plus. Right. Which is, you know, free game every month, blah, blah, blah. But the Now service hasn't gotten a lot of talk time. So I don't know if this says, ooh, well, Microsoft must know that it's working because now they're launching a very similar service.
I wonder what it means. Microsoft has a very robust cloud service, so it's not hard for them to deploy this as long as they can get the latency tech down, which it seems like they have. It also is a lovely point to add to their cross-platform strategy. So, you know, if you make Game Pass available on Windows 10, suddenly there's a feature that you can't get from Sony.
Yeah.
I think what both companies are betting on is not the now, but the future, saying, hey, having this service will be appealing as we make it available in more places for more people to access.
Right. And they're calling, does this have a name? Is it like a
Game Pass?
Game Pass. There Game it is. Pass. All right. I think I like the name, actually. I'm sick of Plus. I'm sick of Now, and I'm sick of.
I'm sick of those two things, but this doesn't feel. Game Pass doesn't feel like it's unique enough name to. When you hear the term Game Pass, you immediately think Xbox.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true, I guess. Well, yeah, definitely. I don't think of Xbox. That's a good point.
I'll also be offering my Go Now Plus Pass.
Go Now Plus Plus Go Pass. Yeah, yes. Perfect. It sounds like a good board game for kids or something.
And the Go Now Plus Plus Pass Express.
Right. Yeah, for those who are really looking for the cheap entry level version of the service. This would be
really
interesting.
We really got to kickstart Go Now Plus and just see how many people sign up just based on the name alone.
It'll be like Arrested Development's fake, what was their fake
condition?
See if
condition? We can get Kickstarter to approve it with like the most generic description. Right. It's an elite level membership package.
Mm-hmm. The video. When we first came up with the idea for Go Now Plus, we had to try and come up with an idea of what is not currently out there that we can deliver. Go Now Plus is our way of delivering on that promise.
Yes, exactly.
We need a Danish guy to speak for a little bit. Go Now Plus is built on the same platform as Now Go Plus.
As a development challenge, Go Now Plus was extremely interesting.
You know what? We should work for Funny or Die or Freakin' the Onion. This is really good. Why they haven't done this yet, I don't know. But anyway, look for that in June. That's June 1st, everybody. Give that a shot if you have an Xbox One. I do not have one, so I guess I will not be trying it, at least for
also, now. This was on yesterday's DTNS, but in case anybody missed it, the Chaos Computer Club, which is a hacking group out of, I think, Germany, was able to unlock the Galaxy S8 using a picture of an eye.
Whoa, what? Really?
Yeah, so the Galaxy S8 iris scanning uses infrared to scan your eyeball.
Yeah.
And it looks for curvature. What they did was they took a high resolution picture with infrared light, printed it on a Samsung printer just to tweak them, and then put a contact lens over the picture, unlocked it right away.
That's amazing.
Wow. Well, that's so Mission Impossible.
Also, it seems like Samsung should have caught that. Just saying. Seems like a thing you would have caught.
No, it's not. I actually think that that's not something they should have caught. What people need to understand is these biometrics have limits.
Yeah.
There's limits to what they can do. I don't think this is something that Samsung was unaware could possibly be done. I think what Samsung probably believes is the number of instances of this being carried out are so low that it's not worth worrying about yet.
Right. It's your
future
phone.
Versions
it's
of virus like scanning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Will hopefully improve, like you say, Scott. Yeah. But what you should know as a user, if you have a Galaxy S8, is if you're using iris scanning, know that there's a very low chance that someone might try to take a picture of your eyeball or find a high resolution picture of your eyeball and steal your phone and then download it. I mean, it's pretty unlikely that that's going to happen. But maybe if you have sensitive enough information on there, it's something to think about.
Well, all right, then. That seems like we're moving forward, everybody, into a weird new place. Biometrics. The new hackable, immediately hackable technology.
Because don't forget, the Touch ID is hackable too. Right. You can take, you can replicate someone's fingerprint and unlock Touch ID. But it takes enough effort to do that. It's not going to affect most of us.
There was time.
Has anyone tried?
Go ahead.
The thing where you take Elmer's glue and put on your thumb, get the indentation of the fingerprint, and then try that on the Touch ID. I wonder if that would work.
I don't know.
Wouldn't it be in reverse?
Yeah,
it would be in reverse, but it may not. It may not be able to distinguish the reverse from the. Is this maybe just looking at the contrast of it? I don't know.
I thought it did do that. I thought one of the things was it didn't look at the index.
You can make a mold, though.
Yeah.
Well, you have to make a mold, yeah.
The hardest one I ever did is I had to kill a guy in Reno and then pick up his dead finger, push it on his phone.
You had to warm it in the microwave?
Well, I just went on it real hard with my blue on it, and it was fine. It worked out. So
good workaround.
Well, today at 2:30, there'll be more tech on display over at thedailytechnewsshow.com. You can certainly catch
probably
that
less discussion of warming severed fingers in the microwave.
Probably way less of that. But Tom and I will be there. I love Wednesdays. So will you. So check it out. Tom, anything else you'd like to mention?
Folks who are into Twin Peaks, the rest of you can just kind of stick your fingers in your ears for the next 10 seconds. But
go have a slice of pie.
Yeah, exactly. Have a damn fine cup of coffee and a slice of pie. Twin Peaks is back on Showtime, and Damn Fine Podcast at damnfinepodcast.com has an episode up covering the first two parts that were aired on Showtime on Sunday. And if you're a big Twin Peaks fan, you know that the third and fourth parts have already been made available in the Showtime app. And we have recorded a wrap-up of those as well for the patrons at patreon.com/damnfinepodcast. Those will go in the regular feed for everybody on Sunday. So if you're a Twin Peaks fan, get in there and join the fun. We've got a really robust Slack channel going on. People trading all kinds of theories in there. That's a perk of the Patreon. We're number 19 last I looked on the TV and film category for iTunes podcast. So it's been really fun.
Oh, very nice. Well, do check it out. And can I just get... I don't want to scoop anything here, but can you give me a word for your impression of the initial episode?
The first
this
two
last
episodes,
week?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you a whole sentence. It's for fans of David Lynch or Twin Peaks or both.
Okay.
I don't think if you're not a big David Lynch fan, you can come in cold to it. And I don't think if you're like, I never liked the original Twin Peaks, that you're going to enjoy it.
Oh, interesting. But if you liked those other two things or one of those other two things, you think you're in good company there then.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
I'm looking forward to checking it out for sure.
That feels like a pretty... I haven't seen it yet either, but I want to. So, well done. Tom Merritt, everybody. Take it easy. Have fun. And we'll see
Thanks,
you later.
Y'all.
Bye now.
See you, Tom.
I can't hang up on Tom. Yes, I can. All right. There you go. There's that. $9 a month. Do you have an Xbox One or no? Do you not have one?
I do not have an Xbox One. I have... We actually have three PlayStation 4s in the house. Our renter has one, mm-hmm. Our son has one, and then Tina and I have one as well. And but no Xboxes, Xbox 360, but nothing beyond that.
Yeah, we have two PS4s as well, and no Xbox. Does anyone have a Pro, an Xbox Pro in your house? No,
No.
Or not Xbox, PlayStation 4 Pro?
No. A PlayStation Pro. I think actually Simon's might be a Pro because he bought it recently enough that it might be the Pro. Oh. Might be the 4K deal.
You should swap it out and see if he notices. He'll have no idea. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. One, Nicole Spagnolo. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, I was frantically trying to figure out how to get on Skype because, you know, sometimes how your computer says, oh, you have updates.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes I click it. Sometimes I, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
This was like 20 minutes ago. So I'm like, oh, I'll just click it. And then it like proceeded to like download like a whole bunch of stuff and reboot. And I'm like, oh my God, it's going to take 20 minutes.
Is this a PC? Because that latest Windows.
Mac.
Oh, okay. Because that latest Windows 10 update is a monster. It took me 45 minutes to get that thing done on a modern screen PC. But yeah, updates, they're the worst. They really are.
Freaking me out. And I was trying to get set up on Mark's computer. And I'm like, what the? And he has a double monitor. And I'm just like,
Did you yell Mark's name really loud? Because that needs to happen every time. Mark!
I was like, oh, well, he's in the shop. He couldn't hear me.
Oh, all right. How are you feeling? I know you got another little gomboo there. You guys doing all right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm okay. I'm finally feeling more like myself.
Oh, good. Yeah, daycare.
I love the term, the gomboo.
It's my
gomboo?
My dad used to call it the gomboo. That was a big thing in our house. Yeah, so, oh, he can't go to school today. He's got the gomboo. And we'd say, all right, Dad, whatever. Now I still say it once in a while. Recommendals, that's where Nicole comes on. We talk about stuff we're watching and seeing on streaming services that we like and recommend. Oftentimes, sometimes we recommend you don't see something because if it sucks, whatever.
Yes.
Brian usually starts, so we'll do that today. Any setup for your clip here, Brian?
I will tell you that this is a 2015 film that was nominated at the Academy Awards that year. Well, 2016, obviously.
Yeah.
And the voices you're going to hear are those of Tom Noonan, who's we talked about him before. He's kind of the weird looking guy who's a villain in Last Action Hero. Mm-hmm. Not the main villain, not Hugh Dancy, or Charles Dancy, but the really weird looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
And also a guy you're currently seeing on the show Fargo that we really like. So all I'm going to tell you.
Is it by chance a teacher of the dark arts in the third book by chance?
He kind of is a teacher of the dark arts.
A Harry Potter reference. Okay, then. Here it is. Right. Brian's recommendal. 40 seconds. Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to be the first to welcome you to Cincinnati, where the local time is 7:43 p.m. and the temperature is 68 degrees Fahrenheit.
Sorry, I grabbed your hand.
It's okay.
It's a reflex. I'm usually sitting next to my wife. But I don't like to fly.
I said it's okay. Can let go now, though.
I don't know what that is, but I totally want to see it now. So,
is it a plane? Is it like Flight or something like that?
It is not. That's the only part of the film that takes place on a plane. The rest of it takes place in mostly in a Cincinnati hotel.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What's it called?
If I told you it was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature.
This is the one. Oh, shoot. I want to see this. I've been wanting to see it since day one, and I keep forgetting it exists. Where is this streaming? Yeah. Where is it at?
It is streaming on Hulu, if I remember correctly. Let me pull it back up here. Can you
tell me the name?
I'll tell you the name. The name is Anomalisa.
Yes, okay. That's it.
And this was an animated film by Charlie Kaufman, who did, Being John Malkovich. And this is very much, boy, it feels like it's got a lot in common with the Being John Malkovich thing, because it's all animated. It's all stop motion animation. And they used 3D printed faces for all the characters. Yeah. The main character, I think, had 37 different 3D printed faces. And you can kind of see the seams. Not just kind of. You can see the seams where it's like the lower half of the face is one 3D print and the upper half is another 3D print.
Right.
It's really, really well done. It is not for the kids. Even though it's an animated film, you are not going to want the kids to watch this because there's wiener in it and there's puppet sex. Three-dimensional. There's 3D stop motion animated sex going on in there, and mm-hmm. it does deal with a lot of weird adult themes.
Yep. Jennifer Jason Leigh is supposed to be great in this. This was the year that she was great in that and something else. What was Jennifer Jason Leigh? What was the other movie she was in?
That's something that actually happens in this film.
Oh my gosh, have you read this credits on this? All right, let me read the credits. Cast, complete cast, it says.
Yes.
Michael Stone, but played by David, however you say his name, Thewlis.
Thewlis, David Thewlis.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, plays Lisa Hesselman.
Correct. And
Tom Noonan plays everyone else.
Yes. So in that clip, you hear the captain talking, and then you hear the guy in the seat next to David Thewlis talking, and they're both done by Tom Noonan.
I love that, dude. I love that. That's great.
I won't tell you any more about it than that, because that does figure into the plot of the story.
All right. I'm in. I've been wanting to see this since day one. Isn't it funny, though? It's an American culture thing that when we have something animated, we have to make sure and tell people it's not for the kids. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
In Japan, they don't even care. It's like animation
because it's more common out here that if it's an animated film, it's probably going to be G-rated.
Well, that's my whole point. It's cultural, because we have this idea that that cartoons are for kids. I've always hated that. I've always resented that, because yes, there are plenty of great cartoons for kids, but there's really great animation for adults, this included. So cut it out, America. This is just my little side complaint.
Well, and I wouldn't say that we assume that animated stuff is for kids. I think that we just assume that animated stuff is going to be kid friendly. Like, cause I think Incredibles isn't necessarily just for kids. It's definitely something that everybody at every level can appreciate.
I kind of agree with that, but like Kim's mom freaking out when The Simpsons was on in the early 90s, because, oh my gosh, I cannot believe a cartoon is talking this way.
And that's tame compared to Family Guy and 90% of what you see on Adult Swim.
Yeah. Or, South Park or whatever. It's like, I guess what I'm saying is I want to get to a place where we are not so hung up on the idea that if it's a cartoon, it's for kids, or if it's a cartoon, it's kid friendly. You put it better than I did. That's a better way of saying it. But this looks really good to me. I want to see it.
So streaming on both Hulu and Amazon Prime. So you can, if you have either one of those services, you can watch this for free.
What's it called again?
Anomalisa. As in like an anomaly, but Anomalisa.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say anymore. I recommend seeing it. It's definitely Charlie Kaufman. I'll leave it at that. Yeah. How's that?
It's weird, right? I want weird.
It is weird. It is weird.
All right. Did you know there was an Extends 2 in 1999? Remember that Extends movie? The reason I'm saying this is Jennifer Jason. Because Jennifer Jason Leigh.
The wiener pills?
Yeah, the wiener pills. Jennifer Jason Leigh is in a sequel to Extends called Extends 2. We saw that for Film Sack, and it just jumped out at me. So that's all that is.
Because that's the brand. I mean, because we watch Howard Stern a lot. That was always one of the commercials that would come on.
And the problem is that you can't search for it. Wait, Existens, right?
Existens or Existens, I guess. Not Extends.
Yes. Not just Extends.
I was going to say, that is the wiener pill.
No, this was our new subtle way of inserting advertising into the show, was to just suddenly go, Brian, have you heard of Extends? Let me tell you.
That's why it didn't sound right. I'm like, Extends? Wait, I knew exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, it's the movie with the virtual reality stuff with Jennifer Jason Leigh and...
Right. Oh, my Lord. All right. Anyway, here's my clip.
Okay.
On that note, my clip is, let's see if you guys figure it out. I'll just give you a hint. It's new. That's all I'll say. Here you go.
Okay.
Baltimore has always been a quintessentially Catholic city.
The priests were the authority. Whatever they told you to do, you did.
The city has its level of corruption. Sister Kathy exemplified this spirit of compassion and kindness.
I have never had a teacher like that before.
She was murdered our senior year, and it's always haunted
many people in the community.
All right. What do you think?
The Keepers.
What'd you call it?
The Keepers.
You are correct. Ding, 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 ding.
I have not heard about this.
Netflix original documentary series made by the people that did your favorite guy there, Brian, the documentary about the guy, whether he killed people or not, but you always did.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, the Jinx.
Yeah, the Jinx. No, not the Jinx. How to Make a Murder. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that one.
Oh, with the...
What's his name?
Can you remember that guy's name? The voice I used to do.
Yeah,
the,
I used to love that version.
Ken Kratz.
Yeah, Ken Kratz, dude. Anyway, same doc team doing a new documentary about another mysterious thing, and it's soul-crushing and really interesting. And by soul-crushing, I just mean, man, the abuse that took place that led to all the things that this thing is trying to uncover is horrific. Like, man, year Brian and I were born is when all this stuff went down, and it is a gnarly story. However, I'm gonna recommend it. I think it's important viewing. I really like it. Well, I've got like two episodes left, so I'm not quite done, but so far I'm really into it. I think some of these people are incredibly brave for doing what they're doing, and it is a twisted bit of business, man. It's totally worth watching. So anyway, I don't want to give too much away. It's about you heard it in the thing there. It's about a nun who was killed and mysteriously, and nobody knows who did it, and they've never been able to solve the case, and now they're finding all sorts of things in modern context that are leading to things. So
beast and all that stuff.
Yeah, did you see it? Have you watched it?
No, I've been reading about it, and I keep meaning to watch it. I've Entertainment Weekly was talking about it, and I was like, I need to watch that.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. Good, it's good though, really good. I would put it right up there. My experience so far has been right up there with Making a Murder, or whatever that is, or How to Make One, or whatever. How to put a murderer together in three simple steps. How to Train Your Murderer. How I Met Your Murderer. Got it. Nailed it. All right, Nicole, you are on deck. What do you got?
All right, here you go. I think this is going to be an obvious one, but it's what I'm consumed with at the moment right now. So here you go. All
right. Chet, good to see you.
Gordon.
Chet, give Sam Stanley the glad hand. He's come over from Spokane.
It's a pleasure. I've heard a lot about you.
Sam's the man who cracked the Whitman case.
Congratulations.
I heard about that. Chet, your surprise. Her name is Lil.
Okay.
Is that Twin Peaks or what is that?
That's Fire Walk With Me.
Oh.
That is Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah, that's the woman wearing the lipstick, the red dress, the flower. Yeah.
All right.
So the characters you heard, there was Chris Isaac, who plays FBI agent Denson, I think it is. David Lynch himself, who is like the head of the FBI or whatever. And then Kiefer Sutherland. I totally forgot he was in that. Mm. So when he says, give him the glad hand, he's shaking hands with Kiefer Sutherland's character.
Yeah, so, that's right. I forgot. This was like... after the end of Twin Peaks, the TV show, but they did this.
Right. This is a prequel. And so if you are thinking about getting into the new Twin Peaks, the Return series, you need to watch at least Fire Walk With Me. I binge watched all four episodes of the new series. And then I was like, oh, well, I have to watch Fire Walk With Me, and it's streaming on Showtime. So if you have Showtime anywhere, you can watch the new show and you can watch Fire Walk With Me. Mm. And I've seen Fire Walk With Me a few times, but it just pulled me in again. It's so my husband would hate it. Mark would hate Twin Peaks because there's so many layers. There's so much symbolism. So like David Lynch's character, he cannot hear very well. He speaks through code, and that's what the woman in red is. He's kind of giving code to the FBI agents of the situation that they're walking into this town, which they're investigating the murder of, I was going to say Elizabeth Banks, but it's, I think it's Teresa Banks. No. Mm. Banks is the last name, I know. Mm. But it's a young woman similar to Laura Palmer that is killed before Laura Palmer. Mm-hmm. So the TV show Twin Peaks focused on the murder of Laura Palmer. You don't find out until, like, I think it's the middle of season two, who actually did the murder. But in Firewalk with Me, you find out
who did it, but they don't find out who did it until the middle of season two.
Oh, right. Plus, at the time, there was a controversy because some promo leaked it ahead of time, and Lynch was all pissed. You guys remember that? I remember that.
No,
Tom was talking about it on that when I was on their Damn Fine podcast thing, and somebody leaked it early, and there was a big uproar, and fans were flipping out because the season hadn't even started or something. I don't know what it was. Anyway.
Yeah, what was really cool about the movie is that they brought everybody back except for, well, everybody signed back up to do the film except for Laura Flynn Boyle.
Well, no, there was actually two people that didn't sign up. They both had scheduling conflicts. It was Laura Flynn Boyle and, oh crap, who was it? I read about it. Because that's the one thing Twin Peaks makes me do when I watch it. I then go online and I just start reading about everything. And I'm like, oh, and I go into these old message boards that are referencing Laserdisc.
Wow.
Wow.
Such an old show, but it holds up
so
amazingly well.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
There's so much cult status.
Pretty sure that Twin Peaks is responsible in some way for a huge movement in television that continues to this day.
Being
daring and going out there and modern incarnations of that. I would say shows like Better Call Saul and Fargo and many others sort of take a page out of their book for sure.
Absolutely. Well, even Lost. Yeah. I mean, these are episodic TV shows. I mean, Twin Peaks did it really first.
Yeah, it didn't really exist until then.
The internet or a streaming service that you could catch up on. You had to watch it when it came on. Yeah. And it was like,
And Twin Peaks, more than any of these other ones, bridged the gap between soap operas and primetime television because it felt there were parts of that. You've got Twins, you've got Amnesia, you've got the woman with the eye patch, Nadine, getting hit on the head and thinking she's a teenager for several episodes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, it's kooky and weird and silly and goofy and scary. And that is one thing. So I started watching the new series. Have either of you started watching it yet?
No,
not yet.
Tom was just here talking about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to warn you that when you first start watching it, you're going to go, what the hell am I watching? Because it's weird because it almost feels like a late night Cinemax softcore porn.
Oh, great.
in a way that it's filmed, not necessarily. Sure. I mean, I will say they are taking advantage of the fact that there's nothing holding them back.
Yeah,
on
right.
this one. Whereas in TV, they had to pull. I'm surprised what they got away with on TV then. But there were times where I'm like, what is going on with the film? And it didn't, it just felt really rough. But if you hang in through it, which I just kind of, it just consumed me. And then I was just brought into the world. And I'm wondering if he meant to do that.
Oh, dude, like David Lynch, he's always jacking us around. I guarantee he meant to. Yeah,
sure.
I mean, this is his project again, so it's not like season two where he kind of had hands off, and it's not like, you know, him being frustrated all that time while they didn't have any new Twin Peaks stuff. This is him getting full reign, and I'll bet this is, you know, this is old David Lynch going, I still got it, and he's sticking everybody in the eye with it, which is probably great.
Well, I mean, I spent 3 minutes watching a guy spray paint shovels gold.
Weird.
And I was like, fat. I'm like, what is he doing? Why is he painting them?
I want to
know. That's how David Lynch does. He just feeds you little things and you kind of piece all that. And it's a rewatchable thing. And that's why, you know, Fire Walk with Me, if you've watched it once, watch it again, especially before or after. I watched it after the four episodes and I totally forgot there was a scene that Annie is in the last episode. She's Heather Graham's character. Mm. That's who it was. Mm. Heather Graham didn't come back for the.
Oh yeah, she was. Yeah,
I forgot Heather Graham was in Twin Peaks regularly. Like
she plays the love interest of Agent Cooper.
She's somebody's sister, right?
To the Black Lodge.
Isn't she somebody's sister?
Yeah, at the very end of the second season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So she goes into the Black Lodge with Agent Cooper, and she comes out, and you don't really know what happens to her. Well, you kind of find out in Fire Walk With Me what happens to her.
Oh.
Because she shows up next to Laura Palmer in a dream, and she's all bloody, and she says, Agent Cooper's stuck in the Black Lodge, and you can't come out.
Oh, weird.
And that's the whole premise of this, that it's been 25 years, and Agent Cooper is now ready to come out of the Black Lodge. And there's this whole concept of good and evil and multi-universes. And it's just so weird and awesome. And just, I love it. I love it.
I'm excited. I'm going to start watching it. I know that, I'll tell you what, the show I saw last year, or this, I guess, part of last year and this year, that I thought David Lynch could have written and done, or where his influence was the most obvious to me, was Legion. That felt like David Lynch peed all over Legion, didn't it?
Totally did.
Yeah, that movie.
You want to know what's so interesting about Twin Peaks 2? Yeah. I'm not even worried about spoiling anything for anyone, because I feel like it compels you to watch the show because it's so weird that I couldn't spoil it for you, because I couldn't even explain it to you if I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing what happens is not enough to spoil it. It's like how you get to what happens. That
exactly. Yeah. And they're not even there. Like, That's the weird thing about the show, is like it almost time hops, and you have different parallel. And they David Lynch has even said his other movie, Lost Highway, is in the same universe as Twin Peaks.
Mm. Oh, really?
Have you ever seen Lost Highway? That's a weird freaking movie.
That's a really weird movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe his weirdest. I don't know. Eraserhead's pretty weird too, but I would say that one was maybe his weirdest.
Wild at Heart is my favorite of his things.
My favorite is his rated G one. The one with the lawnmower.
Yeah, The Restraint Story.
I freaking love that movie. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
You brought up Jennifer Jason Leigh. She's in the new Twin Peaks series, The Return.
Oh, no way. Huh. That's cool. Oh, I think I remember hearing about that, but I forgot all about that she was doing that. That's great.
And Michael Cera is also in it, which...
What?
I hated that part. Some people love it, but I freaking hate it.
Oh, that's weird.
I'm in Twin Peaks? Okay, well...
That's exactly how it sounds, too. He plays...
Well, take that plate. I guess I'll have this other plate.
He plays that guy. He's just that guy every time.
I mean, I'm going to spoil. It's not even a spoil because it's so stupid. I'm not ruining anything for you if you're listening. He is the son. He's Wally, who is the son of the receptionist of Twin at the police station, and the police guy. I can't remember their names.
Okay.
But he has a whole weird scene, and it's like... I come and again, this is David Lynch playing with you, because you come from like a really scary, crazy like scene, and then you go into this David or Michael Cera scene, you're just like, what the hell is going on?
All right.
And I had the weirdest dreams that night too.
I'll bet you did. No, that's the deal. You watch David Lynch anything and I had weird dreams with The Straight Story, and that thing was just like as calm as you get. The guy's a psycho. He's the best.
What's his name is it? I'm sorry. From My Name Is Earl.
Oh,
the brother.
The big guy, Randy.
The schooner guy. Yeah, he's in it. I'm like, what?
Oh, I like Randy. Randy's great.
That's one thing that is really cool about the new TV show, is just all the random kind of almost celebrities that will pop up just for a little bit.
And I'll bet that's it too. A lot of people like, oh yeah, I'd love whatever you want to put me in there as David Lynch. I'll totally do it. You know, put me in there and I'll play whatever you want.
And they'll do
Ethan Suppley, right?
Yeah, and they'll do it for free. Some of those guys are just like, I'll just come in there. That's great. I want to be immortalized in your weird ass TV show. Right. All right, we'll go. The recommendation is both a Fire Walk With Me and the new series. Double recommendation there for you folks. We'll be back next week with more. Nicole, anything you'd like to mention before we go?
No, I'm kind of out of it right now. I miss Ladies of Leigh because I was so sick on Sunday. So I think... gonna record it this coming week.
I loved watching. So you put up a picture of you sacked out on a couch or something, and you had like a coffee over here, and you had a controller over there, and you had a TV with Fallout 4 on it, and it looked like the best recovery thing ever to me.
And I'm reading American Gods too.
That was laying there. That's true. That book is so good.
I'm reading the book before I watch the show.
You should, and because then I want to talk to you what you think of the show, because right now I'm not sure how I feel. Because I love the book so much.
I love the book. The book is great. I'm cruising through it.
Having a hard time with the show, but I love the books. My top three ever.
That's cool.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody. Nicole Spag, everybody. Nicole Spag on Twitter. If you'd like to complain about any spoilers you heard today, you can find her there.
You know where to direct those.
That's right. Brian, let's take our leave. Before we do, a reminder. If you're looking for ways to support the show or contact the show or anything, you can find it at frogpants.com/TMS. All the links are there, including one to request song requests from Brian. Many other things can be yours. Oh, when's the film festival ending?
Oh, yeah. Next week. So easy is your topic. Whatever you want to do that shows the word easy. And we've already gotten some submissions, so I know it's going to be better than last month.
Yep.
Easy. Just show us how you do something, make it easy, and get it to us by the 29th of May, which is this coming Monday. You've still got time, 30 seconds to a minute of film, and how easy could that be?
Yep. That will be precisely a month from Nerdtacular. I'd like to point that
out. Oh, let's not remind me.
I got a lot done yesterday, but I still have so much more to do. That's the other good news is the schedule should be done this week. What else? There was some other major thing.
That's what I'm doing Monday is working on Nerdtacular stuff.
Oh,
the trivia
right.
Stuff.
Right. That's I should use that day for that, too.
Yeah.
When I get back from the grave thing. Anyway, there you go. That's the show. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And let's get out of here with a song. You got a little something there for the end?
Got a little ditty.
Okay.
That I'd like to play for you. Uh-huh. Hunter wrote in, said, "The most important day of my life is finally here. I'm marrying my best friend and love of my life, Ashley. We spent 2.5 years in a long-distance relationship with her in Canada and me in Texas, and this song is about something we bonded over as we really think it fits our relationship and how we feel about each other. Hopefully you can play this between the 17th and the 24th of May, as we'll be driving to during most of those days, and we'll be listening to the podcast." Signed, Hunter. Well, congratulations, Hunter and Ashley. That's awesome. Mazel tov and all that stuff that you say to congratulate you guys. So. This is Ain't No Mountain High Enough, originally done by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. They did that original version, a little duet with the two of them. This version is done by Australian legend Jimmy Barnes. You probably know him from the Lost Boys song, the theme song that he did with Michael Hutchins from NXS. Mm. Gonna have a good time tonight. Rock and roll music gonna play all night.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that now.
Anyway, Jimmy Barnes and Juanita Tippins from the album Double Happiness. Here is Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry, 'cause baby, there ain't This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Maybe you don't think murder is serious.